You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
That we might have life, everlasting life, you came to us, O Lord, so that all might have life, live your glorious life, Lord, send us to the world.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to The Light Show. My name is Kate DeVries. I work in the Young Adult Ministry Office for the Archdiocese of Chicago, and I am delighted to be with you this January. Happy, happy, happy day. And with me here in the studio is Father John Cusick, the director of the Young Adult Ministry Office. Good morning, Father Cusick.
Good morning, Dr. Kate. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. How are you?
Is it still appropriate to say Happy New
Absolutely.
Year?
Absolutely. All year, let's say it. Happy
okay.
New Year,
so
everybody.
Those of you who are with us, Happy New Year. This is our monthly opportunity. To spend an hour. As Kate has mentioned, our privileged work is to work with those in their 20s and 30s, both married and single, in the Archdiocese of Chicago, whom we are affectionately known. They are affectionately known as young adults. And today we're going to, what are we going to do, Kate? We've got some fascinating things lined up, I believe.
Well, actually, Father Cusick, I want to read you an email. I want to read all our listeners an email that we've received in the office. It's very common to be asked this question. The email says, "Hi, I'm interested in becoming more involved in events with other young Catholics. I'd like to be kept up to date on upcoming events. And in particular, do you have any suggestions for becoming particularly active in a parish, in a church in the city? Let me know where I can go to worship." So it's not uncommon for us to get questions right. of people asking, where can I go to church? Where is there vibrant liturgy? Where are there young right. adults that I can pray with?
Right.
So we are going to spend the hour today working on that, answering that question.
And we're going to be contacting some people today who have some wisdom on that. We think mm-hmm. that some of these people that we're dealing with are involved in university ministry in a couple different places. And part of what sensitivity they have to this age group is that they see them in a university setting, whether they are a commuter student or a residential student. And they also see them as they begin to make that move from college, undergrad or graduate, into neighborhoods and parishes, some of them with the economy being what it is, back home to the parishes or the areas where they grew up. And at the same time, we see a lot of hand-wringing, I think, Kate, you know, from a lot of parents who say, you know, my young adults just, they're not in a foot race on Sunday to get out of bed and
right.
get to church.
Right.
And so we've got some real tension. We've got people like that emailer who says, I'm looking to get involved, and other people saying, I'm running in the other direction. And so ours is a challenging position, folks, and we love a challenge. To see how the best way we can make the wonderful, wonderful traditions, experiences of Catholicism so important and invitational
yes.
to this huge generation of people.
Yes. The Archdiocese of Chicago is made up of all of Lake County and all of Cook County. We have right around 350 different opportunities, 350 different parishes where people can connect. So what we want to do today is really address the question, how can all of those parishes become more inviting, more welcoming to young adults? What wisdom can be shared by you, our listeners, and what wisdom can be shared by our guests who are going to be with us here.
And this also comes at a time when the Archdiocese, for the second year in a row, is participating in a program called Catholics Come Home. And home oftentimes is the local parish. Mm-hmm. It's the places where we worship, the places we baptize our children, the places we find healing and reconciliation with God, where we celebrate being in love, where we carry our deceased and carry them off and on to eternal life, where we say amen to the body of Christ. Our parishes are pretty powerful in important experiences. And they are best, we believe, when they are really intergenerational. Then it's not just little children and older people, mm-hmm. but there's a healthy smattering of all ages of people, particularly young adults who bring a certain level of energy, certain level of enthusiasm, volunteer time, resources that I think all too often are missing today in so many places. At one time, the backbone of Catholic parish life was probably people 25 to 35 or 40. And today, yeah, let's be honest, folks, it's a lot older.
So today we open it up for all of our listeners. If you have a suggestion on what any parish can do to become more welcoming and inviting to young adults, we ask you to give us a call here at the studio, 312-255-8408. Again, 312-255-8408. So what has worked for you? What has worked for young adults you know? Is there something in particular happening at your parish that we want to make sure all the young adults who are listening know about? Right. And anything that's happening in any parish for young adults, we'd be happy to put on our website so that young adults can connect and be part of it.
Right. Now, we're also aware that not every parish can have a vibrant, active outreach to young adults because there's an awful lot of geographical and population shifts and changes. Mm-hmm. We were talking at one parish recently that I remember doing a parish mission a number of years ago. It was very intergenerational, but yet the economy has shifted so much. So that in many ways, younger people were almost forced to move. They couldn't stay in the area. And so what you have now is a much older population and a racially transitioning population, and that just makes it difficult. So we're aware of that. So we're not trying to throw guilt on anybody.
No.
So if you are listening to us today and you are involved in your parish, or if you are involved in parish governance, or you might be a parish staff person, we are aware that some places it's very difficult to find this generation of people. But trust me, they're out there, you know. Now, one of my concerns, earlier this fall, I was privileged, Kate, to be invited to a local Catholic hospital to do a morning of reflection. They brought together people who were ministers of care from, oh my goodness, there must have been represented maybe 20, 25 different parishes.
Okay.
And 125 people, it was so touching to see so many people in many ways give up a Saturday morning. Now, as you and I both do, we tend to look at any gathering of people, whether it's worship on Sunday, if I'm presiding, you're a congregant, wherever we go at conferences. We just came back from Reno, Nevada, from the diocesan conference there. We always look out and say, let's see where our target group is. Mm-hmm. Well, that Saturday morning, 125 people, there was one person who acknowledged herself as being under the age of 40.
Mm.
And so you begin to ask the question after a while, who will do these ministries? Who will do this work in 10 years?
Yes.
So we're going to have to find a way, folks, in the best sense of the word, to begin to regenerate many of the many things we do in our parishes. We're going to have to bring in younger people because they need the privilege of bringing the Holy Eucharist to the sick and to the shut-ins, and they can bring a sense of life to those who are ill and in nursing homes and hospitals. But of all these wonderful people, one was under the age of 40, and amidst the good news, there was a sadness for me.
Sure, sure. And there seems to be a mentality among young adults when they walk into church and see people so much older in the leadership positions that really the leadership belongs to their parents' generation,
right,
or people older than that, when in
right,
fact, it's we're all baptized into God's love and life and church, and we are all on to build the church, and we all have gifts to share, and the parish is a wonderful, wonderful place to share it.
Now, a couple of the people with whom we are speaking today, one in particular, is involved in university ministry. And folks, we must keep in mind that there's a number of younger Catholics who have had this very wonderful experience of our Catholic faith through a Newman Center, Catholic campus ministry, small groups, Sunday worship, a variety of situations. And they're really looking to say, boy, I want more of that when I go home. And they are hungry to get involved, and oftentimes there is no sense of welcome for them. So we're going to ask one of the campus ministers if they can help provide us some insights into that. So that's a little bit, folks, of what we're going to do this morning. Does that make sense, Kate?
That sure does. And again, we welcome your suggestions, recommendations, and questions.
Right.
You can give us a call here at 312-255-8408. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Cardinal George directs the catechetical activities of the Archdiocese of Chicago through the Office for Catechesis and Youth Ministry. Our office promotes lifelong catechesis by directing certification and formative opportunities for those who teach catechesis in the more than 350 parishes that make up the Archdiocese.
Each year we host a myriad of opportunities to enhance adult faith formation and youth ministry programs. We sponsor certification classes, guest speakers, youth rallies, retreats, and our well-attended annual Chicago Catechetical Conference.
We work closely with pastors to ensure that their congregations and staffs are well-formed in teaching and learning about the Catholic faith. Our highly skilled coordinators serve various ethnic groups, speak multiple languages, and are always ready to serve Christ through catechesis.
Log on to www.catechesis-chicago.org or www.youthministry-chicago.org to learn more about how we can better serve you.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
We'll talk with Cardinal George about wrapping up his tour of duty as president of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. We'll hear from a Roman official who came to Chicago to explore possible sainthood for Father Augustus Tolton. And we'll take you to the 25th anniversary celebration for the Archdiocese of Chicago Spanish language newspaper, Chicago Catolico.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your Archdiocese.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Dr. Kate DeVries along with Father John Cusick. You are listening to The Light Show, and today we are talking about enhancing parishes so that more young adults know ways to get connected and can get connected and have a good experience with that. And we are delighted we have a caller from Lombard. Rose, good morning.
Hello.
How are you today?
Very good, thank you.
Thank you. Good, 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 and welcome. So we understand you have a suggestion.
Yes, I would like to make the suggestion to my fellow young Catholics to look into possibly getting in touch with any of the Theology of the Body conferences that are offered around Chicagoland. I was able to attend one a number of years ago when I was newly married, and it just shed so much light on God's plan for the body. And as single people, I think we need to understand our call to living chaste lives before we're married and the benefit of it and the reasons why. And that's not always taught to us. I went 2 years of high school and never really understood it until this conference. It was just right there in my face. And then as married people, we need to understand God's call and discussing why the church teaches against things like contraception and the beauty of the openness to life and how that fits into God's plan. And when we appreciate life at the core, we embrace life at all aspects, from beginning of life to end of life, and then people become more generous, and they want to go and help the elderly, and they want to go and help, you know, their friend who might be in a crisis pregnancy. And I benefited so much. I encourage all of my young Catholic and middle-aged Catholic friends and even the elderly to go and look into Pope John Paul II's Theology of the Body.
Sure.
If there's any conferences, it's just such a beautiful, beautiful testament to God's plan for people, for Christians everywhere.
Rose, I think that's a wonderful idea. You know, and I would suggest to people, if they're looking for those conferences, I would bet you could Google that, Theology of the Body Conferences, and see what surfaces that might be in the broader Midwest area, not just focus solely on Chicago, and be able to lock into that.
Thank you.
That would
have
be great.
Have a blessed day.
And you too. Have a good one and Happy New Year.
Great. Well, thank you.
That's a
Rose.
Good idea.
It's, you know, absolutely.
Yeah.
And now, Father Cusick, we have our first guest waiting on hold.
We do. We have that wonderful director of the Office of Family Ministry in the Archdiocese of Chicago, who was heard on these airwaves regularly.
Every now and then,
Mr.
Yeah.
Frank Hannigan. Good morning, Mr. Hannigan.
Hello, Father John. Hello, Dr. Kate.
Good morning, Mr. Hannigan. How are you?
I'm great. Another wonderful day.
Excellent.
It is. Terrific.
Excellent.
Frank, as you might have heard, we're trying to find ways today, and Rose gave us an insight into that, of how to really connect younger Catholics to the church, and obviously she suggested the Theology of the Body conferences. So it's not just parishes, but there's conferences, there's groups, there's a variety of ways. And the reason we wanted to pick your brain this morning is that one of the probably primary contacts that many, many younger people have to the church is when they pick up a phone and say, I'd like to get married.
Absolutely.
And so as Cardinal George once said to me, that the sacrament of marriage is oftentimes one of the first moments of adult faith.
Absolutely correct on that.
And as somebody who I remembered as a very young married man, and now I know as a young grandfather, you have
Ooh.
Really...
yeah, and those are both great...
They are.
...times to be in, actually.
That's right. And thirdly, the parent of young marrieds today, that you've really witnessed a lot, I think, of what we're speaking. And we want to, Frank, really, very seriously, ask your wisdom to the local churches.
Well, you know, the parishes are so key from welcoming hospitality when an engaged person calls, and maybe they haven't been going to church as regularly as we would like, but they are still, they are Catholic, their Catholic faith is important to them. They want to get married in the church, so how can we welcome them? How can we say, yes, this is a wonderful opportunity?
Right.
If this is the beginning of their adult faith formation, how can we take advantage of that? And I think, you know, many of our parishes do an excellent job. We're glad you're here. Here's different ways that we can be of service to you. How can we assist you? And every once in a while you hear a story of that not being the case.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we need to encourage parishes to be welcoming, to be open, to try to understand where this particular engaged couple is coming from, to walk on the journey, the faith journey with them as
sure.
they choose to get married, and then, you know, what does all that mean? And I think as I was listening earlier to the conversation, I think it's important to have young adults in ministry, doing ministry in the parish, because, you know, modeling, it says so much than simply words, you know.
Exactly.
So if we can have young adult couples who've been married 3 years, you know, 7 years, 10 years, who still might be in their 30s or early 40s or something, doing the ministry, I would say marriage prep ministry, especially baptismal prep ministry, so very, very important. Then these young couples who are coming to us for baptism for their children, or because they're getting married, then they'll see young couples being a part of an alive and vibrant parish. So if we're able to do that, and we are able to do that, it's just a matter of making the decision to do it.
Right. So the strategy is using an old youth ministry term, peer ministry.
Sure.
But now the peer ministry has jacked itself up 10, 15 years.
Well, sure. You know, you've got people my age working with engaged couples, and they're saying, you know, he's a dad figure.
Right. And, you know? And when they ask you what's going on, you say, well, I'm a grandfather of how many? And mm-hmm. and there's a certain, though there's a value there, there's a little less credibility than if there were somebody married in the earlier years of marriage.
Sure. And I think the key thing for couples who are married a short amount of time, 2 years, 5 years, 7 years, is not to go swaggering in and say, you know, my spouse and I, we know everything about marriage, just be like us and you're going to be wonderful and all the rest, because the engaged couples are going to know that's just a line.
Absolutely.
You know, but if you say, you know what, we're a little bit further on our marriage journey, on our faith journey than what maybe you are right now, and here's where we're at, here's some of the things that we learned, here's what's helped us, maybe some of what we've done can be of assistance to you. So if you walk humbly with the engaged and newly married, I think you'll have great impact.
And I'll bet you dime on a dollar, every one of us who is in what I call the marriage business, marriage prep, celebration of the sacrament, whatever it is, mm-hmm. we have our eye on certain people or couples who I claim really get it. You know, they may not be, as you mentioned earlier, the most church people at a particular time in their life, but there's something that we see in them which could really be a gift to other people.
Absolutely. And, you know, Father, from what my experience is, they're simply waiting to be asked.
We've been yelling that mantra for years and years, that there is no substitute today for invitation.
Well, to be noticed and to be invited
right.
just speaks volumes. That young couple, they'll walk through a wall for you.
You cannot make an announcement after communion and say, we're looking for young couples to help us lead pre-marriage prep. They're going to say, oh, my God, I can't do that.
Yeah, we don't have a perfect marriage.
I don't have any skills.
Yeah,
you know,
they're not
looking
for us. Right?
Right. I didn't go to Catholic college. I didn't go to Catholic high school. So they slip in, you know, what I would call some of the Catholic breaks.
Mm-hmm.
And this breaks them and this breaks them. Instead, I think we have to see those who have got a gift, very much like the Lord Jesus. He saw out of how many thousands of people did he see? He picked 12.
Yeah, he said, you know what, come,
yeah.
follow me.
He didn't say, anybody out there interested? No, he said, you, and you.
And Frank, is there a training? I mean, if somebody says, I would do it, I just don't know what it entails or what they're looking for. Is there some sort of training? Would your office help with that?
Absolutely. I mean, there are plenty of parishes that have their own parish-based marriage preparation program that we support. We do the training for those couples. Sure. But we also have a number of parishes, English-speaking and Spanish-speaking, that come to us on the diocesan level, and you know, typically we do those trainings a couple times a year, and it's a matter of sitting down for a day with these couples, letting them know how it's done, you know, what we're trying to accomplish, because we believe in hospitality too, in evangelization, because when the engaged couples come to us, we want this to be a very positive experience.
Sure.
Not always sure what their experience has been previous to this, in high school or college or at their parish or whatever, but we want their marriage prep experience to be an excellent, faith-filled Catholic
sure.
experience. Dr. K, we do the training, we tell couples who get involved with us, you stay involved as long as you would like to be involved, as
right.
long as it is life-giving to you and you feel that you're making a difference in their lives. And we have couples that start out, you know, in their 20s or 30s and who are still doing that ministry, you know, 5 and 10 and 15,
absolutely.
Sometimes 20 years later,
wow.
and they say, Frank, we get so much
sure.
out of it working with engaged couples or working with newly married couples.
And we know a lot of those through our work that have made their way to you and have done all kinds of things.
Well, I certainly you know, appreciate the recruiting you know. That Young Adult Ministry and
sure.
the two of you specifically have done for
sure.
us. Wonderful couples, and you know it changes their lives.
It
you
does.
Know, their marriage, which is probably a good marriage, becomes a much better faith-filled marriage
yeah.
Because of their ministry that they're doing together.
Okay, now Frank, we have to take a break. But while we break, I want to put two questions before you. I want to ask you after the break.
All right.
And number one is we run into when we hear on the phone from parents who say my son's engaged, my daughter's engaged, but they don't want to get married in the church. Can you help me?
Okay.
And number two, let's talk about after the wedding. What should churches be doing to support marriages, particularly the early years of marriage, which at one time there was this great thing called CFM, which did that.
Absolutely.
Okay, let's take a break, and then we're going to come back and pick the wonderful brain and the wisdom of Frank Hannigan, the Director of Family Life Ministry for the Archdiocese of Chicago.
God bless you, and Christ's peace be with you. This is Mary Norfleet Johnson, Director of the Office for Black Catholics in the Archdiocese of Chicago. The Office for Black Catholics is a vital and integral part of the Catholic worship community here in Chicago. Our agency serves people of color, encompassing African American, Haitian, African, Afro-Latino, and Caribbean natives. Contact us and learn how to enhance your neighborhoods, your families, and your faith through various initiatives and events designed to strengthen your relationship with Jesus Christ. Our office is located in the Cardinal Meyer Center at 35th and Lake Park Avenue. Call us at 312-534-8376 or visit our ever-changing website at www.blackcatholicchicago.org. We look forward to serving you and your communities.
welcome back to The Light Show. We are on the phone with Mr. Frank Hannigan from the Family Ministries Office of the Archdiocese. Frank, if people want to follow up with you or have particular questions about young adults they know, or the young adults have questions about marriage prep or want to get connected, what should they do? What should they call?
Well, they can certainly email me at fhannigan, it's H-A-N-N-I-G-A-N, at archchicago.org. I'd be happy to respond that way. Or they could give a call. The number here at the office is 312-534-8351. Again, 312-534-8351. I am going to be out of the office most of the day today at meetings, but I am around in the office many, many days, so they can email or call, and we'd be happy to get back to them.
And we'll put that phone number and your email address out before we go off the air again today.
Super.
But, Frank, it's no secret that marriages in churches, not just Catholic Church, is down.
Absolutely, sure it is.
You know, and part of what Kate and I see in young adult ministry, our younger people today are much more influenced by a secular culture, sadly, than they are by a religious culture. And one of the things we come across is these destination marriages.
Sure.
I want to get married on a beach in Barbados. I want to get married in
Cancun. I'm going
top of a volcano in Peru. And this. You know, and in one way I can understand that, what they're looking for is a search for meaning. Let's not be silly.
Sure. And
At the same time, this creates a lot of pain and tension, particularly in family systems that say, you know, my faith in my church has been my life.
Yeah.
What is your wisdom on this?
Well, I would say, first of all, to the parents, don't beat yourselves up. Because if you have been modeling a good, faith-filled marriage yourself to your sons and daughters who are now in their 20s or 30s or whatever age and choosing to get married, and they choose not to get married in a Catholic church, that's certainly going to be very disappointing. But don't blame yourself. It's not your fault. It's not, well, what if I did this or what if I did that? Because that's counterproductive.
That's just not going to work.
No, it's not helpful. I think, Father John, it's an opportunity for the parents to explore with their son and the son's future spouse, what about faith? Why perhaps are you not thinking that your faith is important to you at this time? And there might be some good reasons. Maybe it's laziness. Who knows? But to take this as an opportunity to have a conversation. I'm not saying that you're going to change their mind. I'm not saying that they're going to say, well, you know, we're definitely going to be married in the church now. We weren't going to be. You might. And
right.
that would be a great thing, but, you know, I wouldn't go into it. I would go into it more as, you know, they're making an adult decision, treat them like an adult, have an adult conversation with them, share how being married in the church has impacted their own marriage, the parents' marriage,
right.
how an active faith life has helped them through the different struggles, and how they want the very best for their children. Parents would do anything for their children. And if they still choose not to get married in the church, I would, you know, strongly suggest to stay in loving contact with that child and their spouse. To put up an ultimatum, if you don't get married in the church, I'll never talk to you, or I'm cutting you out of the will, or whatever. That's not helpful to anybody.
Right.
That's counterproductive. So I think that's part of it. I think maybe, you know, talking with a priest or deacon that maybe the young couple might know. Might be a good thing, and they could share that. I would ask them, you know, to if they don't want to get married in the Catholic Church, still ask them to go to one of our marriage preparation programs, because that might help them to see the importance and the beauty of being married within the faith community.
Exactly. And Frank, what I always tell, there's two things I tell couples, and one of them really seems to work a little bit. When I'm talking to them about liturgy, so we're talking about those who are choosing to get married in the church,
mm-hmm.
but it's a piece of wisdom, I think, that works for families otherwise. I said, you know, getting married is not just about you,
mm-hmm.
but because of you, it's about everybody whom you call together.
Sure.
And my job as a presider at your wedding is to literally work through you and filter your love and the love of God to touch all the people, the hundreds of people you choose to be with at your wedding. And I think so often some of our destination weddings are all about just, you know, Billy and Susie.
Sure. Sure, and there's few people who can make it.
Exactly, and that can afford to go.
Right, right.
And I'm not poo-pooing that, because I know that destination weddings can be a very spiritual and faith-filled experience. But I think we all have an obligation in the church, as you are sort of suggesting, to be able to speak clearly. It's almost a moment of evangelization on the value of being married in the Lord, where we gather for all of our sacramental moments.
Exactly, for all our important sacramental
times
are in the church with the faith community. And here's another example. Here's another time. If your marriage is so important, I have never met a couple that does not want to have a successful.
Oh, they want they want not only a successful, they want the best marriage.
Absolutely, they want it more than anything.
Right.
And we've all seen couples married 5 months or 8 months who don't really like each other anymore. You know, and things are starting to fall apart already. So why is that happening? Well, what's the role of faith?
Right, exactly.
You know, how have you discussed it? So, again, we would strongly encourage couples to come to, you know, the marriage preparation programs, whether
sure.
it's the parish-based or diocesan-based. They're done well. And really try to understand better, as best they can, the role of the importance of sacrament and the importance of the faith
sure.
community where they've celebrated their other sacraments.
And to explain those as experientially as humanly possible.
Oh, yeah. Because
all right, we're running out of time, as you might guess, and Hannigan and DeVries and Cusick could talk all day.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know, that's our problem.
And that's a good thing.
But, Frank, question number two, quickly and insightfully. Oftentimes, after the ceremony is over, it's like, goodbye. And it seems to me that one of the critical places where church is really of a value beyond the marriage day is supporting, particularly the early years of marriage.
Absolutely.
Because as someone said to me, you know, my marriage is not my father's Oldsmobile. This is a whole different world today. And I'm really, Kate and I put some programs together for a while, and people said, we just need some people to talk to who are in the same place in life as we are.
Yeah, yeah. They're not looking for answers necessarily. They're looking for someone to discuss
with. Oh, my God, yes.
They're looking for someone to share their experiences, to validate the ups and downs that are typical, that are normal, that are probably healthy in many ways.
Exactly.
For couples, you know, not to expect to have the perfect marriage or the soulmate marriage, things like that.
Right.
But, you know, and parishes can play such a key role. We need to stay in touch with our couples, whatever
exactly.
that means.
Right.
You know, it's so much easier today electronically via texting and emails and the rest to get information out. I think the days of having all gathered events is long over. I'm not saying not ever to gather couples together. I think that there's value in that. But we still need to stay in touch even when they are not able to come to us physically. And electronic technology makes that very, very possible. So, you know, I think parishes, I always, when I go out and talk to parish staffs, I ask them, you know, do you have a written, concrete plan for supporting marriage? And especially, like you're saying, Father, in the early years of marriage.
Yeah, that's the key one.
You know, so, and we make some suggestions to them. You know, we do talk about, you know, bringing them back. We do talk about, you know, maybe after or, you know, before the announcements, to on the second Sunday of every month, it's Marriage Sunday. So anyone who is married in August, anyone
right.
who is married in, you know, this month, whatever it might be,
right.
Please stand up and we're going to bless you. So you become a marriage-sensitive parish.
Exactly. And people are affirmed for their decision and for what they're doing.
Absolutely.
You know, one of the things, Frank, that we run up against occasionally is there's a paralysis among many people, whether they're volunteers or parish staff people, in dealing with this generation. They just seem so different. They're just not around. I don't know what to do. And one of the forms of paralysis that we've discovered in this marriage support is people saying, are there any books on this that we can use? Well, here's what Kate and I have come up with that really seems to work. Get 5 young couples together. Open up a good bottle of Chardonnay or a good Heineken's.
There you go.
And sit and say, if you had the privilege of getting together, just 5 couples who don't know it, what would be your agenda? Well, my God, one night they filled a whiteboard with more topics than I ever could think of.
Mm-hmm.
They know the agenda more than I mean, your kids know the agenda better than you and Marilyn
absolutely.
Do.
Absolutely. It's great to bring them around the table, to have
absolutely.
Them make the decisions. Let them decide.
Right.
How
and,
do you want to form this? What works for you?
I mean, so many younger couples today, these are 2 career marriages, these are 2 job marriages. This is sometimes where the wife is making more money than the husband. There's all kinds of differences.
Oh, so different. And yeah, the husband may be staying at home.
Right. And they need to talk about these things. And they know what they want to talk about. They just don't know the venue.
Yeah.
And I think the church should be the venue. I think for young couples who might not have been all of that church, and all of a sudden they say, God Almighty, my kid is 3 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We need to start talking about prayer or what we're going to do. And
right.
That's a whole issue that is a spiritual hunger for them.
And, John, I would suggest to your listeners today to contact the Family Ministries office, or contact me. And there are some parishes that are beginning to do some really good work along those lines.
Sure.
We could suggest we have, plenty of resources, Catholic and Christian and some secular, if they're looking for books on a variety of different topics.
Right.
There's any number of different things. It doesn't have to be planned out in a guest speaker for an hour and a half.
Exactly.
And all the rest of that. That seems way too formal for many of our younger folks.
Right. And that's probably what they rebel against oftentimes.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
We got to move on. But if you want to contact Mr. Hannigan, it's fhannigan@archchicago.org. And the Office of Family Ministry can be contacted directly at 312-534-8351. And Frank, thank you, and I'll see you at one of your many meetings today.
Thank you, Frank.
Yes, we will. Take care, both of you.
Take care.
Be blessed.
Bye.
Thank you.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son is in the number. The student-teacher ratio is 18-1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Each night, thousands of families face homelessness in Chicago. Those families aren't just statistics. They're your neighbors, your friends. They could even be part of your own family.
I had lost my job, so I wasn't working, and I had run out of all my savings, so I ended up losing my apartment. And I went to stay with my sister, but she's got this small little itty-bitty condo, so we were all sleeping on the floor. So I started calling around for the housings and everything, and they told me to call Catholic Charities, and it just happened when I got through. Joanne answered the phone, and she goes, you got me just at the right time. We're actually doing interviews right now. You want to come in? And gave me the whole rundown of everything and how the program works and everything. She goes, is this something you can do? And I looked at her and says, you're offering me a roof over my head, something more than I've got right now. And I'm willing to do anything to keep that roof over my head.
Catholic Charities of Chicago is there to provide a helping hand to the homeless. Find out how to help us help the most needy. Visit CatholicCharities.net.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
And And welcome back to The Light Show with Father John Cusick and Dr. Kate DeVries. We thank you for listening, for being with us today, and we want to let you know if you are a young adult looking to connect, please connect with our office, or if you know any young adults who might be interested in gathering with their peers. We have a wonderful, wonderful calendar of events for young adults, activities happening throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago and even a little bit beyond. You can find that all at Father Cusick is flashing me our website address. I'm not sure why. www.yamchicago.org.
Just to be different.
Father Cusick, I've been in the office a while.
22 years.
www.yamchicago.org. You can also go to the resources tab on our website, and you'll find where there are young adult masses happening and a list of all of the parishes that have an active young adult group in action. So, again, yamchicago.org. Father Cusick, there you go.
Good, thank you. And we want to bring in Ryan Lentz. Ryan, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Doing well. How are you doing?
Well, you know, for an old guy, Ryan, I'm not doing too bad.
Good.
You know, good morning, Ryan.
Good morning. We're giving you the business. Now, Ryan, though I know what you do, why don't you explain to our listeners this morning and to those who will download this off of our website, why did we draw you into this conversation today about inviting and welcoming young adults into the church and particularly into parishes?
Well, what I do is I'm a program coordinator for a young adult volunteer program here in Chicago called the Mate House.
Great.
We're the young adult volunteer program for the Archdiocese of Chicago. And so we work with a lot of young adults ages 21 to 29 who are here in the city doing a year of service and living in community. And so we're working with the age group that you're talking about,
exactly, right.
Many of whom are in transition and you know, are moving beyond their college years and trying to be integrated into the next stage of their lives.
Right, and then many of them move from their college years into a year of voluntary service or two, as you've mentioned. And then there's another transition, and that's when they move out of that into what we would call regular Catholic life. Now, Ryan, what wisdom can you pass on to people who might be listening to this show this morning, who are, let's say that they're, you know, they're pretty actively involved in parishes. They may be catechists, or they may be ministers of care. They could be on parish councils. They could be on parish staffs. And they say, we don't have a lot of younger people, but we know they're out there someplace. And so what would Ryan Lentz say? Hey, here are a few suggestions I would make to you, because you're with the age group. You see them come into your volunteer program, and you see them move out as well. What are they looking for?
Yeah, and I guess, you know, just to kind of reemphasize that word transition, that period of transition is really something that kind of happens all through their 20s.
Right.
You know, we kind of think of that transition as being kind of, you know, a short 1 to 2 year window, but really it kind of occurs, you know, a lot of young adults are delaying marriage, and,
exactly.
And so it really is going almost into their 30s at this point.
Correct.
But, you know, I guess I would start by just saying that a lot of the things that young adults are looking for are things that I think all adult Catholics are looking for. They're hungry for, you know, a sense of community, being part of something that they can belong to, and you know, feel like they're belonging to something that's greater than themselves. And so I think that the way, you know, if parishes can kind of emphasize that sense of community in whatever way is possible, I think that's a great start. You know, and obviously they do want things like, you know, a vibrant liturgy and great homilies and music ministry. And, you know, I think some parishes can easily accommodate that, and some, you know, it might be more of a challenge. I think that the challenge is that a lot of young adults, especially those that are involved in university ministry or like myself who went to a Newman Center in college, they're really used to having liturgy being catered to them, to a very specific age group. And so some of them are probably, when they're coming out of that experience, they might be coming into parish life with maybe some unrealistic expectations about what parish life should be for them. And
exactly.
So I think that's part of the transition as well. And, you know, kind of grappling with the fact that liturgy, while it, you know, it should be life-giving and it should be exciting, it is an entertainment. And so I think that's something that they, you know, it's just part of the transition to adulthood and kind of finding ways to take ownership of their faith and realizing that the world doesn't completely revolve around them, but also that parishes can do more to welcome them in. And unfortunately, I think with a lot of, you know, with a lot of young adults, we hear the term church shopping a lot, and so first impressions are really key. And so, you know, if they come in at, you know, a 9 a.m. Liturgy, and, you know, they may not come back again if they don't see what they want, and that's a very difficult kind of position for two parishes to be put in. You know, they have to kind of, make a very strong first impression.
Sure.
But, I think ways that young adults can be invited. Your previous guest, your conversation, you talked about personal invitation. I would really echo that. What are ways that young adults are being invited into parish life?
Exactly.
Is there an online presence? Is there social media being involved? What kind of ways of outreach? How are young adults finding your parish? I think the reality is that a lot of our young adults, they live on the internet, and so they're not going to look you up in a phone book. And
right.
If they don't have access to your bulletin, then how are they going to find you? So that's one thing. Once they get in the door, what kind of hospitality is in place once they arrive? I know myself as a young adult, something that I pay attention a lot to is, what kind of ministries are available? I think sometimes young adults can kind of be considered as one singular block, but there's a variety of different.
Oh my God,
they
are they are as across the board as any other Catholic age group.
Absolutely,
So you're gonna have if we want to use some of the classic names today, you have traditional people and very contemporary people. So.
Mm-hmm.
They're everywhere. We can't say there's only one type of Catholic young adult.
Yeah, absolutely. The people in our program, some of them really value devotions.
Right.
Some are really energized by peace and justice issues. Obviously we work a lot with service, so a lot of them are looking for service opportunities.
Exactly.
Opportunities to get involved with liturgical ministries. So,
right.
What are the ways that the parishes are getting people engaged in those? How are
right.
they learning about them?
Now, Ryan, based upon something you said a few minutes ago, I want to reiterate it and offer it as a strategy to people who might be in parishes that oftentimes the involvement of young adults, even in their 20s up to their early 30s, is going to be what I call transitional involvement. They may not be around a long time, but they need a positive experience of church, because so many may wind up looking for that experience at church. They're involved maybe with the Vincent de Paul Society or some kind of, then all of a sudden they're in graduate school and their time limits change.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden they're falling in love and they've got, significant other time. Some transition to different parts of the country. So we have to let parishes know that this is also can be very frustrating for parishes, but we have to give them the experience of what the local church is, because we need their vitality and we need their faith.
Absolutely.
That's a key thing.
So
what are you looking for church? What are you looking for as Ryan Lentz?
Yeah, I think that something that I think is very useful and something that can really engage young adults is, how are churches talking about kind of the timely contemporary issues of our day, like issues of relationships and sexuality and injustice, here in the United States and around the world. Are there opportunities to dialogue, with kind of interfaith opportunities, integrating faith and work and life, even, using pop culture as a place to talk about God, talk about the spirituality of, the 10 best films that came out this year, or, the popular TV shows or music, and obviously there are things like Theology on Tap that happen in the summertime, but a lot of times there are some great topics that come up with that. But, I've visited a number of parishes around the city where there are a number of lecture series and opportunities to bring people together to talk about these things. And it's not necessarily that there's even a lot of pre-programmed things in advance. It's just you bring the people together and you bring in exciting, engaging topic where there's a lot of things that people want to talk about, and you go from there.
So what you're, if I can be so bold, is to try to summarize a few things here. What you're saying is, number one, we have to be relevant. Number two, people are looking for a sense of belonging. They're looking to worship. They're looking for something that is not just entertainment, but it's very faithful. It has to connect to the world in which they live. And we have to do, as Jesus did, a personal invitation, say, we really need, want, and love your presence. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
All right.
Yeah.
Ryan, we got a break. We're getting ugly looks over here from Mr. Dish, who's on the other side of the glass. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
and
Ryan.
Amate right. House, if people want to learn about Amate House, quick phone number.
Yeah, it's 773-776-376-2445.
2445, Amate House, the Young Adult Volunteer Program for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Ryan, keep doing great things.
All right, great to talk to you both today.
Be blessed. Right, Happy New Year.
Bye-bye.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
The Catholic New World has been your faith resource for well over a century. Archbishop Patrick Feehan recognized the need for a strong Catholic voice in 1892 and launched Chicago's first Catholic newspaper. Bishop Feehan named our Catholic newspaper using a theme from the Columbian Exposition, the New World that gave people hope for a brighter future. Today, the Catholic New World is better than ever. It's a rich and diverse resource for Chicagoland Catholics with stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Cardinal Francis George and our team of columnists offer compelling insights on spirituality, catechesis, and evangelization. Visit our website at catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777. Our look has changed, but we are still your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
And welcome back to The Light Show with Father John Cusick and Dr. Kate DeVries, and we are talking about young adults and connecting to the parish. And we are delighted to have with us one more guest. We have Quang Lu with us. Good morning, Quang.
Good morning, Kate.
How are you?
Good morning, Quang. How are you?
Good morning, John.
How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful.
We're going to start with a trivia question, which we do not want you to answer because you know it.
Okay.
The trivia question is this Catholic trivia. What is the largest Catholic university in the United States of America? And everybody in their car or at home is going to say what, Quang?
DePaul University.
Yay.
How about it, huh?
Very cool. Congratulations.
Isn't that amazing? A couple years ago when somebody told me that, I said, I feel pretty proud. In our own city, the largest Catholic university in the United States of America is DePaul University. And Quang, you are in university ministry there, right?
Correct. I'm currently on staff here as the resident Paul Chaplain.
Wow. Yeah. Well, you bring a great sense of wisdom. Residence Hall Chaplain to college students in the year 2011. You should write your book.
I try to do my best.
You do. Quang, what are some of the spiritual hungers, do you think, today of the people with whom you are privileged to minister and serve?
Students are looking to connect, to be part of community, and I think many of your guests has mentioned that already. Students are longing to find purpose and meaning in their lives, you know, to ask those larger questions like, what is God up to in my life these days? Or how can I share my gifts and talents and discover those gifts and talents to serve the community that I'm a part of? Those are the questions that students struggle with and, you know, are looking for ways to explore.
Now, Quang, those are key. I mean, that's the spiritual hunger of the searcher and seeker today. As somebody who interfaces with this generation of people, and then many of them are going to move out of DePaul, they're going to head back to small towns, big towns, cities all across the United States of America. Let's say somebody in the middle of Kansas called up Quang Lu and said, Quang, can you give me a couple insights as to how in my little parish here, or big parish, what could we do to make this a more hospitable place for these returning college students and beyond?
I worked previously at St. Monica Catholic Community in Santa Monica, and there's a very vibrant young adult population there as well, too. And one of the best practices that they had at their liturgies was to walk acknowledging the presence of new members in the community. So at the beginning of each liturgy, they would ask, if you are new or visiting for the first time here in our community, please stand so that we may welcome you. And you know, by visually seeing the new members, you know, those opportunities for our hospitality ministers to greet them afterwards and to build that relationship and connect with them. And then when there would be an opportunity for, you know, people in the congregation to stand up and welcome and greet one another. Those are opportunities for the community to acknowledge again
right.
and welcome those new members now that we've seen them.
Sure.
So I think when someone comes to Mass and someone acknowledges them and they're not just a number or someone,
right.
a body in the pew, that makes a big difference.
So in other words, don't take anybody for granted.
Absolutely.
There you go. That's number one. Okay, what else do you have?
I think many of our college students, you know, who are active here are involved in liturgy, in their faith lives beyond the Sunday liturgy. So they're involved in retreats, you know, scripture studies, faith sharing groups, theology or religious studies classes. And so they'll be, in some ways, expecting that kind of experience in their parishes as well, too. So what can parishes offer for young people to continue to grow in their faith, to deepen their faith, and to take part in community service and serving their community, and inviting. So parishes should definitely be mindful of inviting these young people to participate in their parish ministries, you know, whether it be with religious education for the kids or in their social outreaches.
Sure.
Invite them to be part of the liturgical ministries as well, too.
Now, Quang, when you say invite them, would you agree with Ryan Lentz and basically Frank Hannigan, who was on earlier, that the invitation really has to be pretty personal?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Because you can't get up on Sunday after communion and say, we need five young adults to be catechists starting next week.
Correct, yeah. And as, you know, as a person who worked in parish ministry and trying to recruit volunteers to work for me or with me, I think getting to know them during those liturgies after Mass and getting and trying to identify what their gifts are and discerning their gifts with them and what are the ways that they can best serve the community. I mean, it's not just randomly asking them and not knowing them, can you be a lector? And they might not be have that gift to be a good lector, but
right.
they might be better off, you know, doing, you know, pastoral care or visiting the sick or the elderly.
Absolutely.
In the community.
And so it's that thing, not everybody can do everything.
Correct.
And we have to be able to help people discern their gifts. And sometimes they don't even know what their gifts are, but they have to be called to their gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Every once in a while, I was mentioning to Frank Hannigan earlier in the show that I'll be sitting with a young couple in marriage prep, and boy, I'm telling you, you sit there and you say, this couple would be so great in working with other couples like this in marriage prep, and that would be the last thing they were thinking of.
Mm-hmm.
But you see something in them, and I'm sure you see something in your students at DePaul that they can't see in themselves.
Yeah.
You know, and you have to be the caller of God.
Yeah. There are some students that have great social skills, you know, and they're really good at tabling and going out there and inviting other students to be involved in our activities, and that's what we utilize them to be part of our welcome team, to be part of our hospitality crew, you know.
So. Sure. Now, Quang, I'm going to throw a curve at you, which, and that is, why is religion so difficult for so many younger people today? I told you it was a curve, you know. I mean, it is a stretch. I mean, it's a lot of people say, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. What?
Yeah.
You know, Is that a mindset? Is that a laziness? Is it a for real thing? Or what do you think?
I think it's a very complex question.
And I think you're right.
There's different dimensions to it. From my experience in working with students here at DePaul, students are looking for, relevant, to religion to be relevant in their lives. So they're looking for ways that it's meaningful for them. It's
sure.
practical. And I think the challenge sometimes is helping them to understand and appreciate, at least for the Catholic students here at DePaul, to appreciate the riches of our tradition
right.
and to help them to understand that we, in some ways, we are still very much a growing church, that the Spirit is still much, very much alive in our faith. So, and constantly be a community that's theologically reflective of our tradition as well,
sure.
too. So that's, you know, that comes with time and skills and knowledge and awareness of the faith traditions.
Quang, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us. We are out of time, but we appreciate all you do. Best wishes at DePaul University.
Thank you
very
much.
Keep doing great things. Make it even a bigger university.
To all of our listeners, thank you for listening. YAMChicago.org. If there's anything we can do for you, have a blessed day.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.